The Marching Round Table is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
This podcast is sponsored by Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com.
We've got to be flexible and we've got to be patient. They're not going to learn the same way because we can't get close to one another. We can't touch one another. We have to wear the mask, so we can't even smile and get that across. It has to come across with our eyes. So everything's going to have to be in a new realm. And we just have to go with the flow and just remember at least we're here.
This winter season is not going to be a typical one. And on this conversation, we discuss how we can best get through it, be productive, and give our students a great experience. It will require grace and empathy. And I encourage everyone to be curious and consider what it may have taken for any group to present whatever they're able to do. Each situation will be different this year. Jackie Gilley and Dr. Mary White join me to talk about how best to approach and think about this season.
How lucky are we? We're still alive. We're here. We're getting this incredible opportunity. Let's make the very best of it so we can both walk away as better people.
And that goes for the students and the teachers. I mean, congratulations and bravo to all of that. Anyone who steps foot on the floor, you know, congratulations to those students, those teachers, those families, those programs. I mean, those communities. I mean, it really is deserving of praise because we don't know what everybody's been through or what every community has been through.
A season of grace with advice and concepts we hope will help you as you start this new year. On the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by FJM, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com. FJM is one of the leaders in uniforms for marching groups, drum lines, color guards, and concert dress and choirs. This includes the FJM Cesario collection. At the recent BOA finals, 9 out of the top 12 bands were performing in FJM uniforms, including the top 5 bands. FJM also provides all kinds of accessories for marching groups, as well as flags and guard equipment. Find out more at fjminc.com. That's fjminc.com. Fred J. Miller Incorporated, the company that changed everything.
Hey, everybody, this is Rick Subel from Paramount Winter Guard and Carolina Crown Drum and Bugle Corps. I'm a big fan of Tim and Courtney and everyone at Marching Arts Education and the work that they do, putting out great messages of education and artistry, talking about the evolution of our art form in color guard and pageantry, marching band and drum corps. I encourage everybody to listen up to the broadcast messages that they have and get involved and share the news of Marching Arts Education with everyone.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Marching Roundtable Podcast. This is Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts, with a conversation I have been looking forward to literally for months with two of my favorite people. Dr. Mary White, how are you?
I'm doing good, Tim. I don't know if you know this, but I get to see you, and I'm so excited to see you. I haven't seen you in months.
I know, even though we're doing this virtually.
Thank you for calling me favorite person.
Like, oh, no, you are one of my other favorite people in the whole world, Jackie Gilley. Jackie, how are you?
Hi.
I'm wonderful, and it's so great to be with each of you today. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you. We're recording this right before the holidays are happening, and I have to tell you, I wanted to talk about, you know, we have to think about the situation everybody's in, and we need to have a little bit of grace as we think about watching shows and what we think about those shows, and a little bit of empathy toward each other. And when I thought about grace and empathy and thinking about taking care of people and being kind toward each other, I have to tell you, I thought of these two wonderful women that I just think so highly of. So Dr. White, Mary, I guess I'll have to call you on this. Mary and Jackie, you two are both so kind and so good to students and have such a long career of being good to students and teaching from concepts that I appreciate. So I wanted you to be here. So Jackie, you're from Oklahoma City, right?
Correct.
Okay. And of course, you have been a judge and educator and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're just a wonderful person. So thank you for being here to talk about it. I'm going to let you start this conversation. When we watch groups this winter, or really anytime we see a group, you never quite know what they've been up against. You know, right now, so many communities are sort of shut down or struggling, but people are still trying to do something. So how are you planning to sort of, what context are you planning to watch shows, whether virtual or in person, this year?
Well, the main thing is, I think we need to remember why we do this, why we teach color guard or drumline, and what we want our students to get away or come away from this with. And for me, it's that joy of performance. It's not about, I mean, it's about the group and becoming your second family and getting them for support. But it's really, when it comes right down to it, it's that joy performance, how you love to perform and this other person comes out of you. And that's what I hope we can get across to everyone else. How can we get that out of our kids and leave them with an experience that they'll always remember, because in these deep, dark days.
That's really amazing, Jackie. I was thinking the same thing, that we're really building memories for these kids. I mean, you're not going to remember often, you know, I'm old and Tim is too, but I just thought I'd add that. Like, I don't remember often what place things were, but I do remember the feeling of performing, like coming down a tunnel, or those kind of being with a group of kids sitting in a circle, things like that. Like, emotional connections that I've had to memories are not about placements. So I love what you said about that, that it's not about that. It's about the magic and the passion of performance, which is great.
I don't know how many opportunities a lot of these kids are going to get to have to perform this year. You know, marching band, 75% of the country did not get to perform. They might have had a pep band situation, but they did not get to get on the field and actually perform and feel that vibe of giving to the audience and those chill bump moments. So we've got to figure out how we can make that work for them this winter, because it might be all they get this year.
Yeah, I think that's so right. We didn't get to perform in marching bands, and so many kids were, imagine if you were a freshman and you were in, you know, the color guard and marching band, you don't even know really what it's about yet. You haven't even connected with it yet. So then you're going to a winter season without that connection of performance in the fall. And so this might be your first time for that magic to happen. So it's all, you know, it's all very, what's the word I want to use, Tim? Like, it's behind. We're behind in that performance. Giving these kids that kind of experience now is so important.
Well, and there are going to be a lot of groups this winter that aren't doing a normal thing either. You know, a lot of people are doing virtual only, and if they're doing anything at all. You know, so that's my point, is this winter you may see a group come out on the floor in t-shirts and jeans and do a minute and a half. And so rather than thinking, what's wrong with them, what I think you need to think is, I wonder what their situation is like. I wonder what they've been through just to be here. You know, if that's a big win for some groups to get to do anything. So Jackie, that's what I want people to think about as they're watching a show. You know, if the group is struggling or it's not the kind of show you think it should be, you have to remember, we don't know what's taken them to just get here and be able to do what they are doing.
Very true. And I was blessed to get to do two live contests in the fall, where the people that were the organizers did an extreme amount of planning to make it work for those kids just to get to perform. And I was amazed that it happened at all. You know, just like the Texas Championships this week for UIL, a lot of people opted not to go, or their school district, school board of education said they could not go. So those that were blessed with that experience, at least they have something to draw on. But like Mary said, so many of them missed out if they're like a freshman. So we've got to figure out a way to go and make them feel good about what they're doing, have empathy for them, and help make it a viable experience so they'll want to do it again and not give up on it because they didn't get those same chill bumps that the rest of us got in the past.
Well, when you said you were lucky to have seen, you know, two fall performances or judged two fall performances, you're right. I mean, every single one of mine were canceled this year. I'm sure Tim's, yours too. particularly in Florida, where I don't think anything went on. Some FMBC virtual things did go on and other things. But for the most part, I mean, you're right. Children did not have this experience, and to have empathy, not only for the the children and the students, Tim, but I keep on taking it in kind of concentric circles out. It's like for the child, and then for the band family, and then for the families of the band members, and then for the community, because many people are in situations now, financial or emotional, that have been, they've been affected in a lot of different ways. So a color guard that comes out this winter in t-shirts and jeans, maybe they got rid of all dues for the year because their families were not able to afford it. I mean, we have to think of those situations too, that it's not just our small performance community that has been affected. It's all communities have been affected, and all aspects of community have been affected. So I just think that looking at a greater good, you know, that at the community as a whole is really important. It's true, it's about that performance for that kid, but how do you fit into the rest of the things going on in this pandemic world? And teaching kids that, by the way, teenagers are very empathetic and they're very sympathetic and they really are good at this kind of stuff and understanding this kind of stuff. So teaching kids this, I think, is really important for instructors to do too, Tim. I mean, it's not only about the judging, but it's about the instructing. And what are you gonna tell kids? How are you gonna teach them this winter? What is gonna change?
So Jackie, what would you say to an instructor who's trying to figure out how to make this work? What are the things they can do or say to their performers to help them, not only get through their own season, but also have the context of considering everybody else's situation?
I think, first of all, you need to realize that we have to be very flexible because our situations are going to change from day to day. Whether it's a parent decides their child will go virtual for the semester, or if the child has to be quarantined, if the whole group has to be quarantined, if the instructors have to be quarantined. But we've got to be flexible and we've got to be patient. They're not going to learn the same way. Because we can't get close to one another. We can't touch one another. We have to wear the mask, so we can't even smile and get that across. It has to come across with our eyes. So everything's going to have to be in a new realm. And we just have to go with the flow and just remember at least we're here.
Well, I didn't even think about that. You're right. Like, I didn't even think about somebody's facial expression. Like, how is that going to look with the mask? I mean, I'm having trouble hearing people with masks. So I forgot how much I read lips, as well as knowing what are they thinking, because I depended on their facial expression. Like, how are we going to get kids that are 6 feet apart to be emotionally connected to each other and a show?
Yeah, there's just a lot of variables and factors that, you know, we really haven't dealt with. So that's why we've just got to figure out how can we possibly just remember to take a breath and just remember how lucky we are to be here. And then go forward from.
Now, some circuits, Tim, across the country are not going to be performing in front of an audience. Is that right?
It just depends on, again, it's just like everything has been this whole year, everybody's situation is different. So there are some circuits that are planning to try to do some live in-person things. Others are not. And again, each group, each school, each instructor, each community has to make their own decision based on their own situation. And there's so many variables. So, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation is, again, just to remind everybody, we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. We have to know, first off, I know that everybody's doing the best they can. So we have to remember and assume that they're doing the best they can with whatever their school situation, their community situation is. And then whatever they can do is a win. You know what I mean? Like, Jackie, like, I feel like you said this, like, just the fact that we're doing it, if we can get students engaged and let them do any part of this activity that they love, that's a win this year.
I know I posted something on Facebook about getting to judge this contest, and I had college band directors responding, lucky them, we don't even get to go to the game. You know, they have to do a virtual broadcast over the Jumbotron. but at least they're getting to meet. And then others were making the comment they didn't even get to have marching band this fall. And concert bands outside in a tent. I mean, it's like, oh my, all these situations, it's like, we just don't realize, or I don't realize what it's like in Boston versus LA versus Houston versus Chicago. We all have our own situation and they're also very different. I almost wish that before a group would perform, they could give you everything they've been through. When did they get to start? You know, right. How many kids do they start with? How many staff do they have? Do they have a budget? How many days a week do they get to practice? These are all things you'd love to know.
How many kids learned at home and how many kids were present?
Oh, I didn't even thought of that, Mary.
I mean, I attended a band concert last night, not a real band contest, a virtual contest, where the band director, I mean, how brilliant is this? The band director had ensembles play, and then people who were at home, he like mixed it in with the ensemble or whatever he had playing. I mean, what a way to include everybody. I mean, goodness gracious, people are really inventing new ways of thinking and doing things, and we have to be willing to and open to accept all of them.
Wow. Well, it certainly has made us all more inventive and creative.
Well, that's true. And, you know, that's one of the things I like about this is we're always been sort of a let's make it work kind of thing. We always want to fix things. We always want to figure out how to make it work. And that's what people are doing. I don't think people realize how hard band directors and their staffs and instructors are working and all the extra time they're putting in to try to take care of students. So I think we have to always have that in our mind. Everybody's doing the best they can. They're taking care of their students. And then, you know, like I said, have some grace around it. You know, let's give people the benefit of the doubt that they're likely doing the very, very best they can with their own situation. And actually, I feel like that's true always. So I think this is maybe a learning opportunity, is that I think that this year everybody understands, okay, we have all this crazy stuff going on. Everybody's situation is different. I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I guess what I'm hoping is that we can sort of more globally apply that for the future. Because I have been at color guard shows in the past where I feel like people judged and made decisions and made snarky comments or whatever. And they didn't know what that group on the floor had been through. You know, they don't know what their community can afford for costuming or how elaborate they are. Just maybe showing up was a giant triumph for that group, getting to perform at all. So, Jackie, you know, I talked about this a little bit with you before. You know, I want people to have a more global thought about always having some grace around any performance that we see.
It's so true, because if you judge in all the different parts of the country, like in Southern California, for most kids, it's a PE class and they didn't start until January when the semester started, and they practice outside on a tennis court. And many of them, they get no money from the band because it's a PE class. It's not a band activity. The principal doesn't give them anything. And they come out there and they are, at least they're all trying to kind of match. You know, they might not have ever had a floor. And they have these little cones that they use outside on the tennis court. When you see that kind of a situation, then you realize you have to be more empathetic and flexible, and you might be the only guidance they get. So, you know, I get into that Mother Gilly approach where it's like, I'm really trying to help them get better. But do they even know that they're getting a recording to listen to? Because there, you don't get a critique.
Yeah, so, I love that. I love what you said, something about like, you're the only person that they're going to get to listen to about getting feedback. And I think the level of feedback and what kind of feedback is really going to be important, for sure. What some of these groups or soloists, some circuits are doing solos, what level of feedback. I mean, we want these kids to continue and love color guard and love performing and love all this stuff. So the feedback to me is going to be very important. And it should be done with grace, for sure.
You know, I just truly, after watching teachers cope with the first semester, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like second semester, knowing now kind of what the vaccine situation is going to be, and knowing that these kids won't get a chance to get it probably before the semester is over. Teachers might get moved up in line, but the kids won't, if they're even eligible to have the vaccine. So they're going to have to cope with this for a long time. And the fact that so many of us have already lost people. My hometown of 2,000 people has already lost 15 citizens.
Wow.
That's a huge amount. You know, and part of it was because they didn't take this seriously, because they were a small town and they just didn't ever think it'd make it their way. But we don't know who suffered loss or what they're coming with at home, if there is an income at home. So to me, it's just like, you know, I just swear I'm going to cry for every single performance all semester, just because they're there and they get the chance to be there. And so many others didn't get to be there. And I hope every judge will take that kind of a viewpoint and bring it with them. How lucky are we? We're still alive. We're here. We're getting this incredible opportunity. Let's make the very best of it so we can both walk away as better people.
And that goes for the students and the teachers. I mean, congratulations and bravo to all of that. Anyone who steps foot on the floor, you know, congratulations to those students, those teachers, those families, those programs. I mean, those communities. I mean, it really is deserving of praise, because we don't know what everybody's been through or what every community has been through.
It's a struggle for everyone. It's just we all have a different struggle. And we've all had our bouts with depression. You know, almost all of us have known someone who died, you know, or someone who's been physically affected. But again, like Tim keeps saying, we don't know what those kids have been through. This might really be the best they've got. If they come out and do a Sullivan Ensemble and they're in a white t-shirt and jeans and they're barefoot, that really might be the best they have.
Yeah.
And what do we do to encourage them?
And to encourage them to continue in this activity. And when things, I don't think anything is going to get back to normal anytime soon, or normal may be changed. But we have a duty and a job to encourage kids and performers to keep on going.
Not true.
Well, and my point is also, I mean, I think these are wonderful. This is a wonderful discussion. I think my point is, I'm going to try to bring this to every show I ever see from here on out, because any band that comes out on the field, and if they're really struggling, we have to know that that's the school that student gets to go to, and they're only getting a certain level of instruction. They may only have a certain amount of support or money in the community or support from the school, or like, we just don't know what it took. So being curious and thinking, well, I wonder what it took for them to even be here. So, you know, I like that perspective of having grace for every performance I see, because I don't know what their situation is. I don't know what instruction they've gotten, but I can tell you, anybody that's out there performing deserves to be honored, because they're trying and they're participating in something that we all love. Even if their show's not very well written, or they haven't had the best of instruction, or maybe they're just brand new and they're just trying to make it work. So I feel like this is an opportunity for us to think about that this year and then maybe take it forward.
Yeah, what an opportunity, Tim. I love what you just said. Like, what if we did that this year, and then we took that forward into, you know, other years when things were, quote unquote, more normal, and that we have it as adults have a duty to model that for kids, for students, for families, that we model that. And we, you know, when somebody says, well, look at that girl, doesn't have a costume. And then for the instructor or adult say, but isn't it what she's out on the floor? She's loving this. Isn't this great? She gets to share too. Everybody can contribute something to this activity. We don't just have this, we have all of this.
Right. And the nice thing is, we all matter in our activity. We all matter. You know, everybody that's on that field matters.
Yeah, I like that, Tim. We should hashtag we all matter. in performing arts, right? That's not a good hashtag. Sorry. It wasn't very good, but.
No, I think it's a valid point.
Right. That, you know, the performance and the pageantry community is fairly large. I mean, we think it's huge, but it's small in comparison to, you know, some athletic competitions, but it's small. So we have a duty also to, you know, hold one another's hands and be empathetic to one another and to really be inclusive of the entire community.
There is a color guard in the Fort Worth area taught by Dr. Estelle Gravois-Muir.
Sure, I know.
I taught
Estelle. That's how old I am.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, she has a special needs guard.
Yeah.
And her varsity guard performers help teach them. And it's every time I get that kindness, it's like, I know to wear a waterproof mascara and take a lot of handkerchiefs because I know I'm going to sit there and just cry. And no one will be able to comprehend anything that I say. If we all took that approach with every group that we watched perform and encouraged them, what a different world it would be.
Right. Yes, many groups and communities have those special needs guards, and that's because everyone can perform it. Everyone gets joy in performance, and everyone can build a passion for that and have a passion and be able to get to perform in front of an audience or not an audience. Even if you're just in the backyard, you know, that's how many of us started, in the backyard, you know, doing, just throwing the flag around. So.
Well, Estelle's group is the only one I've ever witnessed or supposedly judged, even though all I did was ball through the whole thing. I didn't realize there were a lot of other groups out there that did the same thing, but that's such a positive thing. Because you realize everyone can do this to some level.
Right.
So I guess we just need to try to take that same empathy to every student who performs. And just realize how blessed we all are that we can do it at all.
Yeah, you're so right.
And that's what I hope we will take away from this year. Is like, I feel like we're getting some fresh perspectives. We're getting some time to stop and be thoughtful and think about, okay, you know, this is pretty cool that anybody's getting to do this in any way right now. You know, if anybody's playing their instrument at home and they can't be in school, then they're still getting the joy of making music in whatever way they can. Same with if they're out tossing their rifle in the backyard or whatever part of this they're getting to do. Let's have some final thoughts about this whole subject as we're wrapping it up. Mary, what would you like to say to anybody in closing about this whole topic?
So I think it's a good opportunity for adults to teach and model this kind of empathy. Like this is definitely a time for all adults to model that. And the other thing is to take some sort of community action. Like I know that color guards are in the same circuit, like writing levels, sending candy bars or whatever, like, hey, such and such guard, we were thinking of you and we're so happy you're gonna have 5 solos and we're so happy and we wanted to thank you for doing that. Like other guards to take on some sort of communication, because they're not going to be together in an audience. Like they're not going to be sitting together in the back stand, so they get to talk. So how can you build a sense of communication? How can adults build a sense of communication between guards in circuits and in the nation? And that's what I would take away from that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because it reminded me that this spring, when the WGI season was shut down early, a lot of people were posting their shows and there were all this incredible support and encouragement and, oh, I loved it. And everybody was encouraging and supporting and loving on each other. And I remember thinking, okay, this is wonderful. And now how can we do this all the time? You know, like I understood the situation and how emotional it was and how sad everybody was and they were coping. But my thought was, and that's why I want to have this conversation, just to say that again, is maybe we could have that kind of support and love and encourage each other all the time, even in a competitive arena. Jackie, what would you like to say in closing about this whole topic?
I think we just have to put ourselves in that other person's place. We need to realize that we've been blessed. And in any other stroke of fate, that other person could have been us. So we just need to go and give them empathy, give them encouragement, and see what we can do to help make their life better. It's the only way we're going to lift each other up and make this work.
That's a great point. Well, Mary and Jackie, thank you both so much for talking to me. I knew you'd be wonderful people to have for this conversation, and I've really enjoyed it, so thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Watch for other webinars and podcasts on the Season of Grace, coming to the Marching Roundtable and Marching Arts Education. You can become a member in Marching Arts Education and get access to every webinar and podcast, hours and hours of great content to help you and your staff improve and help your students do better. Just click on membership at marchingartseducation.com. This is your host, Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. I so appreciate you listening and spending this time with us. I work as a career coach, life coach, music arranger, and show consultant, and would love to help you. Contact me at beastofthemarchingarts.com. And thanks to Fran Kick for this message.
I'd like to share three important reasons why you need to take advantage of marchingartseducation.com and the resources that Tim Hinton has put together for anyone involved in the marching pageantry arts world. Number one, we've heard the expression that experience is the best teacher. And the truth of the matter is, that's the biggest lie we tell ourselves. Experience isn't the best teacher. Other people's experience. Now that's the best teacher, because you can learn from all the mistakes they made and how they figured out how to make it work and not make those mistakes yourself. The second reason is if you're a fan of Stephen Covey, you know the phrase sharpening the saw and how we all need to take time to keep learning. And in our world especially, the people who are most successful are the ones who are constantly learning and growing and developing their craft of teaching and designing and making this thing work for them in their situation with their students in their school or community or environment. And number three, it's the most cost-effective way to gain an advantage like that, because you could take a marching band methods course somewhere in America at the college level, undergraduate or graduate. But for an undergraduate credit hour, you're gonna spend $530. And for a graduate level course, in the United States right now, it's $631 per credit hour. When you can make a small investment each month and have access to an entire catalog of materials and instruction and ideas that will serve you well, way beyond the cost of admission, marchingartseducation.com might be your secret weapon for a more successful future in the pageantry world.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach. And with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.